So we're going to look at Ecclesiastes 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. So if you'll stand for the reading of the word. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to loose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherewith he labor? I have seen the travail which God has given the sons of men to be exercised in it. For he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that you have gone before me tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is going to be your word, Lord God, that flows from my mouth, Lord God. I thank you that there is going to be understanding in this place tonight. I thank you that there's going to be receiving, that there's going to be application in this place tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your mercies and your grace, Lord God, that are anew every morning. I thank you that though we may fail, Lord God, you never fail us. In Jesus' name we pray. So tonight, when I read this Ecclesiastes in verse 3, it's talking about the different times that we experience in lives, right? And what that really made me think about were the different seasons. So everybody knows what a season is, right? We live in Indiana, so we get to experience all four seasons right here, right? Summer says she is a season. I'll take that because I am a month, right? So we've got four seasons. And what we know about the seasons is that they're all different and that they all have a different purpose, right? If we think about spring, when I think about spring, I think about new life. I think about the trees turning green. I think about it raining a lot. I think about Easter. I think about my birthday. I think about the sunshine coming out, right? That's what I think about when I think about spring. When I think about summer, this is a time where everything that just popped up in the spring begins to grow, right? This is a time where when the little baby corn seeds were this tall, maybe at the end of spring and summer starts, and by midsummer, they're taller than me, right? Summer is a time of growth. Summer is a time where the sunshine is out and it is feeding the earth. And then we go into fall. Fall is a time of harvest, right? That is when the farmers go out in the fields and everything that they have labored through during the spring and during the summer, they go out and they take their harvest in. And we know that in the fall, the leaves fall from the trees and things begin to get colder, right? And then comes winter, my most hated season of all the seasons. If I could live in a place where there were just three seasons instead of four, I probably will one day. Right? But winter is good. Why? Because winter is a time of rest. It is a time where the earth can die off what it has just worked so hard to produce and harvest. And it's a time where the ground gets to actually go to sleep and rest so that it's ready for the new life that's going to come in spring. Right? And so Ecclesiastes is telling us just that, that you know what, we may not always like the winter season, but each season has a purpose and each season has a different activity. So if we think about the different seasons and we think about summer, for example, because summer is my favorite season, in the summer, I'm going to swim most of the days outside in a pool, right? I'm going to get a suntan. I'm going to wear shorts. You're not going to find me swimming in the winter. I will not do the Polar Bear Club. That will not be something that I'm going to participate in, right? So there's different activities for different seasons. Baseball, when does baseball take place, Tanner? Usually the spring, right? Football is normally a fall sport. So for each different season, there's a different activity and there's a different purpose, and they all work together. And the reality of it is we have different seasons in our lives. I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. We have different seasons in our lives. So when you guys were in preschool, you were in a very different season, or kindergarten, than where you are right now, right? If you can think back and remember preschool, maybe you didn't go to school every day of the week. Some of you might have had five-day preschools. But during that time, you were just learning how to maybe write your name. You were just learning how to read. You were just learning how to write, right? And that was the season that you were in, and it was okay that you were learning and developing in that season because that was the purpose of that season. But now, some of you that are in middle school or high school, I hope that most of you can now read and you can now write, right? And so you're taking what you learned from that preschool season and you can apply it in an even greater way now. And you can learn at a whole different level because you already know how to read the words, right? You already know how to count, so you can do even stronger math than you did at that preschool level. And as you become an adult, believe it or not, you still have different seasons of your life. You know, when you first get married and you have young children, it's a completely different season than when you're older. Because when you're first married and you have young children, your whole life is consumed by changing diapers, wiping away tears, chasing little kids around. You don't have friends. You don't go out on dates. You're lucky if you take a shower, right? It can be a hard season. You guys are laughing, but you'll see one day. You never get to go to the bathroom by yourself, like, again. Right? That's what a season of having young kids is like. And then, man, your kids get older, and you go into this season where you're growing and you're learning with them, right? And it transitions, and maybe they're in sports, so your whole life is revolving around this sports that you're trying to drive them to and from, right? But it's a different season, and you've got friends again because you see people at ball games, and so those are the friends that you now have in your life because that's just who you're around. But that doesn't mean the season is bad. It means God will bring different people in and out, and there's a different purpose for each one of those seasons. But man, the day that everybody dreams for as an adult is the season of retirement, where we no longer have to go to work every single day. We can sleep in as much as we want. We can go do whatever we want, right? I know you guys don't get it, but I'm counting down. Like 16 years and counting, right? But we're counting. That's all that matters. And so right now, when I think about the seasons, not only are we getting ready to enter winter, but you can look around the church and be reminded that we're getting ready to enter into the Christmas season, right? The holiday season. You can see that we're entering into the Christmas season because when you look around towns, churches, buildings, people have Christmas lights up. They've got Christmas trees up. You can drive around and see, you know, the great light fight, right? Christmas is all around us. You're preparing you're not preparing for Christmas programs at school, sorry. But some schools are preparing for Christmas programs, right? And we're getting ready to celebrate the holiday. And so many of us are going through winter and Christmas season together at the same time, but it may be different for each one of us. You see, Christmas for you could be a time of joy. It could be a time of excitement. It could be a time of anticipation where you're waiting for Christmas morning and you just can't even wait until that day. You can't wait till Christmas break where you don't have to go to school for a whole week or more, right? So some of you may feel like Christmas is a time of excitement, but there could be others where this season of Christmas isn't so joyful for them. This could be a time where it brings sadness to people's lives because maybe they've lost a loved one and they're going to miss them this Christmas because they're not going to be able to spend Christmas with them. This could be a season that's stressful. You know, when I was just talking about that mom that had young children, there's probably no other more stressful season than Christmas when you've got a bunch of young kids. Because you're trying to work in and you're trying to just make sure that everything is perfect and there's not enough time or resources in the day. And so for some people, the Christmas season can be very stressful, right? And throughout the seasons, we change and we adapt. But there's one thing that no matter what season you're in, and no matter how you're dealing with that season, that does not change. And that is the Almighty God. God never changes no matter what season that you're in, and he is right there with you through them all. Isaiah 9 tells us that we call him the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, so that no matter what season we're in, he is right there with us, bringing us confidence, bringing us peace, and bringing us hope. Because we have a hope in what he has promised us. We have a hope in our future. We have a hope in his word and his fulfillment of the promise. And so I want to break that down a little bit more, because hope is an interesting word, right? And if you'll go back to it's up there right now. So Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 says, "He hath made everything beautiful in its time, and he has set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God make from the beginning to the end." Other translations say that God has set eternity in the hearts of man. What that is telling me is that every single one of us God created, and when he created you, he put a desire in your heart for eternity. Let me say that again. In every single human living soul, God put a desire in you for something more. He put an awareness in you so that you have the curiosity to think about there is more to this life than what I'm realizing. And when we have that desire for eternity, that's where our hope comes in. Because each and every day we are seeking after the hope of eternity. The promise that one day we will be joined again with our Lord and Savior and we will live forever with him. Let me just say this, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, you have this desire and awareness for something more. You hear people talk about it. People say, they post on Facebook, "Oh, I'm looking for my purpose. I can't wait to find my purpose," right? People talk about, what is the meaning of life? People say things like, there's got to be something more than this, right? That is people's very desire to grasp and understand eternity. That is their hope. That there is more to just waking up every day, to just being born and going back into the ground. But that one day we'll have a life everlasting. That's the hope that people are desiring for. You see, people search this out through so many different ways. Science is one of those key ways. Biologists will take a living organism and they will break it down to the smallest cell that they can find so that they can possibly find how we were created. So that they could possibly find the meaning of life. And you know what they have found? They have found that only a God as great as ours could create something as great as DNA. Because scientists can't explain it. But they're desiring after an answer. I think about astronauts, right? Anybody want to grow up and be an astronaut? I listened to an astronaut a few weeks ago. I've listened to him a couple times because his message is so fantastic. And he's taken all these great pictures of Earth. But, you know, we desire to go up into outer space so that we can investigate the unknown. Because there is some desire to be able to know more than what is, right? And so we send people out to the moon and we send people out in space seeking after that. And this astronaut that I listened to, he says, when you get up there, there's no way that you can deny that our God is real. When you see the majesty and the wonder of this earth below you, millions of miles, you can't deny our God. But you see, we are creatures that were created by God looking for more. And each and every day, whether we realize it or not, we're seeking that hope because we're seeking it out. And we have the opportunity to seek it out through the world, through the ways of men, or we have the opportunity to seek out hope through the only way that you can find it, and that is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the only answer to eternity. Why? Because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so for us to have eternity, our hope must rest upon him. You see, hope is defined in a confident trust with the expectation of fulfillment. Hope means that you believe that something is going to happen. That you believe that if you put your trust in this, it is going to come to pass. Rana last night said, hope is looking for the light in the darkness by looking for and earnestly desiring the best when you are experiencing or surrounded by the worst. That definition of hope absolutely brought me to tears, right? Because there are times where we're in a place where it is dark and it looks like there's no way out. There's times that we're in a place where we question if we even have hope for things to get better, right? There's times that circumstances are so bad that we can't even imagine a change. But man, when we put our hope in Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the only way to the Father, our whole life changes. Light enters into that darkness, and we realize that we have a way out. We realize that we have a way to eternity, everlasting life with our Lord. You see, Jesus Christ has been hope throughout all of eternity. If you look in Genesis in chapter 3, this is the third book of the Bible. Hope is instilled in mankind. Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. Many of you know the story. God created Adam and Eve. They lived in the Garden of Eden. They were not to eat of the tree of knowledge. Adam and Eve did. And once they did, they fell into sin. They fell into death. And when God found out that they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he didn't yell at them. He didn't condemn them. He immediately offered hope. He immediately offered grace. He immediately offered his mercy. He offered his mercy by saying, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is talking about Satan and Satan's repeated attempts to tear down mankind. Satan's repeated attempts to tear down Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. And so Adam and Eve, they put their hope in this son, in this man that was going to come and conquer Satan. And listen, their hope was so great that even though it didn't happen during their time, their hope was passed down through generation, through generation, through generation, for centuries. The chosen people of God continued to live upon the hope that a Savior was going to enter into this world and deliver them out of the sin of one man. Throughout the Old Testament, we have prophets upon prophets as the Israelites wait upon the promise fulfillment, as they hope upon God delivering what he has offered to them. We see these hopes, this promise, through the prophets. The prophet Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In Isaiah 7 and 14, he said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. For behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Listen, I want you guys to understand this. The Israelites, day after day, century after century, heard the words of God, heard the teachings of the Old Testament, and awaited a Savior to come into this world to rescue them from sin and death. Listen, they hoped because they waited with expectation, knowing that if God said it, he was going to do it. And I want to stand here tonight and tell you he fulfilled that. If you look at Matthew and chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, we know that Mary brought forth a son, and that would call his name Jesus, and that he would save his people from their sins. And that all of this was done that it might fulfill that which was spoken of the Lord. For centuries, people hoped in this promise spoken by the prophets. For centuries, people put their hope in Jesus Christ. And finally, God, Emmanuel, is with us. And that's what we're celebrating this Christmas season, right? How many of you know that that's what we're celebrating at Christmas, is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came into this world, right? The promise throughout all the time, from Adam and Eve until his birth, came through on that night that he was born in a lowly manger. But you see, we're stopping too soon. We're stopping too short, because the hope isn't any longer in the manger. The hope for the manger was during the Israelites. The hope for the manger was during the Old Testament. Our hope is on Jesus Christ's return to come capture his church and take us to heaven with him so that we can spend all eternity in God's presence. That's our hope today. That's where we need to put our hope today. Yes, Jesus was born in a manger, and thank God that we celebrate that, because that's where our hope started, but it doesn't end there. Jesus lived a life on this earth free of sin. He died on a cross to pay for my sins. And he rose from the dead 3 days later so that Satan would be conquered. He conquered death, hell, and the grave so that each one of us that call upon his name can live with him in eternity in heaven. And so when we hope after Jesus' resurrection, we are hoping for his second coming. We are hoping for eternity with Jesus' return. Jesus said in John 14 and 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. For I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, then I'm going to come again." Jesus promised that he is coming back for his bride, for his people. He's coming back to take us to eternity where we can live a life everlasting. But we've got to receive him as our hope. We've got to receive him as our answer. And so no different than the Israelites of the Old Testament who were in this waiting season, waiting for the Savior to be born. You and I were in a waiting season. We're waiting for Christ's return. And man, it can get weary waiting, right? I can imagine the prophets coming time after time to the Israelites. Isaiah saying, no, you don't understand. God's going to send a Savior for us. Keep believing. Watch for him. Wait for him. Look for him. And the people got tired. And God got silent for 400 years. And they were in a dark place. I can't imagine not hearing from God for one day, let alone 400. I couldn't be here tonight if I've not heard from God today. 400 days there was silence. And then the hope. The hope that these prophets carried with them. The hope that these prophets got abused and beaten for and cast into prisons and wells and dungeons. The hope that these prophets sacrificed their life for came to fulfillment in one night in a manger. And throughout Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. And we too are now in that waiting season. And we're waiting on Jesus' glorious return. And you know what? Sometimes it can get weary and well-doing, right? Sometimes people want to say, yeah, we've heard Jesus is coming back for the last, 2,000 years. Right? But if he did it once, he's going to do it again. And we should be waiting in expectant hope for Christ to return. And let me explain something. In that waiting season, we're not to sit idle. There is work and activities to be done in a waiting season. Because if you are hoping, then that means that you're expecting it to come to pass. And if you're expecting something, you want to prepare to be ready for it, right? Anybody ever had a birthday party before? Had a birthday party, you sent out invitations, and you expected people to show up, right? And so you or your parents had to prepare for that birthday party. You had to get cake, you had to get ice cream, you had to have balloons, you had to tell people about it, you had to make sure people were coming, right? Because you were expecting and you were excited for this birthday party. Now, what would have happened if you wouldn't have prepared for that birthday party? Nobody would have been there, for starters, right? Because you didn't even send invitations out. You wouldn't be eating any cake, and I ain't coming to a birthday party where there's no cake, right? You wouldn't have any decorations, no ice cream. Lily's not coming if there's no ice cream. Sorry, sis. I couldn't hold it in, right? So you're preparing because you're expecting something to happen. That's no different than us today. We should be preparing because we are hoping in Jesus Christ's return. And what that looks like is no different than what the Old Testament prophets were doing. We should be out in this world declaring Jesus' name and the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody that we possibly can so that we can have the same hope that they had. So that they can have the same hope that we have because we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior and we're waiting on his return. Our job is to go out and remind people of the hope that is in Christ. And the only way we can do that is if we're actively opening our mouths and sharing Jesus with them. The only way we can do that is if we're being examples that he has asked us to be. The only way we can do that is if our hands are working and our feet are moving. So I'm here to encourage you tonight. Don't grow weary because my Jesus is coming back. And that's where I'm going to place my hope every day. And I'm getting ready to close tonight if the music team wants to come. You see, we've got to keep our focus on Jesus. That's how you don't grow weary. If you keep your focus on Christ and not on those around you and not on what's going on in the world and not what she's doing or he's not doing, but you keep your focus on Christ, that hope stays alive. It stays refreshed. It stays anew. So tonight, I want to encourage you guys, because there's no easier time than to be a witness than right now during the Christmas holiday. There's no easier time to tell people about Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings than right now. You see, Isaiah 9:2 says the people walked in darkness and have seen a great light. If you're here tonight and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then let me just tell you, you've seen that great light. You've experienced his power, his mercy, his grace, his salvation in your life. And the Bible tells us that we're not to hide that light, but we're supposed to share that light with all the world. And there's no time better than now, this Christmas season, when there are lights on the trees, when there are lights in our homes, when there are lights down Main Street, to tell people about the light of Christ. You see, people are walking around in darkness, and they have a desire for eternity. And the reality of it is they're looking everywhere but to God. They're looking everywhere but to Christ. They're trying to find answers in their jobs. They're trying to find answers in drugs and alcohol. They're trying to find answers to have new friends, new clothes, new cars, new shoes. But let me tell you, there's no hope in those things of this world. It's only found in Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 says, to always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you. Let me say that again. 1 Peter 3:15 says that you are to always be ready to give an answer for the reason that you have hope. So in this Christmas season, no matter where you are in life, or when people ask you, why are you excited about Jesus? Do you know that your answer, or why are you excited about Christmas? Do you know that your answer can easily be, because my Savior was born? Do you know that your answer can easily be, because my hope was brought into this world? And there you're sharing that light. Tell them that it's because hope that is brought on by this birth into this dark world. Tell them that your hope doesn't end with the manger. Tell them that your hope died on the cross for their sins. That your hope rose from the dead, that they may be united once again in eternity. Tell them that your hope is coming back for his bride, and that they want to be in that number. Tell them that your hope is in eternity, and that's found with God. So tonight, as we get ready to pray, if you're in here tonight and you don't have any hope left, I want you to come seek Jesus' face. Ask him to restore your hope. If you're in here tonight and you need a little more bold courage, so that when people ask you what your favorite thing about Christmas is, you can respond the hope found in Jesus, then come pray and ask for that courage tonight. Won't you come and pray?